get started. Have a seat. All right, let's get started. Have a seat. All right, that was I enjoyed that mixed trio, and I'm sorry, that was three guys up there singing. I thought the one, man, it's good. That was good. I enjoyed that. Encourage you. We got a Highlander basketball game today. Come out, take in the Highlander basketball action yesterday. Great game. Nick Newman. Man, I didn't realize that guy. Where's Nick at? Nick? Didn't realize that guy could. He can play some ball. But I always thought all he could do was push a carpet cleaner. But man, he can. So it was a joy. What's that? Anyway, good game. And come out today. Another great game in Highlander basketball. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to be looking in verse number 30 today. Panic is when you've typed your sermon out, it's in your computer, and you go to print it out after you make a few changes at about 10:45, and your printer is out of ink, and all of a sudden, the adrenaline kicks in. But luckily, Rachel Belial came to the rescue, printed it off for me. Appreciate that. Yeah, give her a hand. Man. She does a lot of work. She runs the activities department, the music department. Isn't that right, Everly Collins? Mark chapter 12. And verse number 30. Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll get into my sermon. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these students. I thank you for their love for you. I thank you for their desire to serve you. I thank you for the great spirit. I pray you just bless each and every one of them. Help those that worked late last night or had to get up early this morning. I pray you just help them to stay alert and open their heart to your word. In your name I pray. Amen. This verse, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Of course, it's a familiar verse. I was, right now, my daughters and I, in the morning, as much as we can. Most mornings we have a little devotion time, and right now we're going through the fruits of the Spirit. And about a couple weeks ago, I was reading this verse. We were on the fruit of the Spirit of love, and I was just going through reading almost every verse in the Bible that mentioned the word love, whether it was God's love towards us or our display of love towards the Lord. But reading this different verses, and I got to this verse, and I read this verse, and after I read it, I said to my daughters, as a way of explaining it, I said, basically what that verse is saying is, it's saying to have passion for the Lord, all your heart. I said, that's what having a passion for God is. I said, like, passion is when you really, really love something. I said, like, how you love your American Girl dolls and Kit Kittredge and Samantha, right? Samantha. And I said, you love those dolls. It's like how the Bailey family loves ice cream. I love ice cream. And I love pizza. And I love steak. I love my wife's cooking. I love... And I said, what do you think of, Caitlin, when you read that verse? What do you think of when you think of loving something? What's this verse mean to you? And she said, oh, that's easy, Dad. She said, I would explain it like how you love Michigan. And I thought, okay, that's pretty accurate. I'm passionate about the University of Michigan. For those of you who know me, know I love Michigan football. Now, I have no idea why she thought and thinks that I am passionate about the University of Michigan. Anthony, can you get me a couple of those things right here? This might have something to do with it. I don't know. This is in my office. It's a picture of the biggest, largest football stadium in the world, Michigan Stadium, known as the Big House. This is a picture of the Mitten. Of course, if you're a Michigander, you always tell everyone where you live based on the glove. And it's a great state. This hangs in my office. Some of the workers in the student life bought that for me at Christmas time. And so she sees that often. I have just a couple items that my wife hasn't done the laundry, so I brought the laundry basket here this morning. But I have just a few items. This is my favorite one. This is a Michigan replica football jersey my wife got for me for Christmas. It's got, see this on the back? Bailey. And, hey, man, I bet they would let me just walk right into the stadium and think I'm one of the players, but I don't know, but she bought that for me. It's got my dad's old football number 32 on it, and it means a lot to me. This is a coat. Brother Collins, why don't you come up and kind of model some of these things? Help me here. This is a Michigan Letterman jacket. Love that coat. My wife bought that for me also. And then this is a Michigan windbreaker. Thank you, Vanna. And a Michigan hat. Got to have one of those. Let's see here. Michigan sweatshirt. I don't know why my daughter thinks I'm passionate about Michigan. I have no idea. Michigan, another Michigan hat. Let's see. Michigan t-shirt. This is work around the house. Of course, it's almost sacrilegious to work in a Michigan shirt. But then another Michigan shirt here. So this is some more Michigan passionate. Dad, you're passionate about Michigan. Let's see here. What else we got in there? Some good stuff. Okay, another Michigan t-shirt. 107,000. It's bigger than that now, 115. This is a picture of my dad and I at a Michigan game. Sits in my office desk. And those are my Michigan basketball shorts. You guys that know, I played out in the gym a couple weeks ago. You guys know I can do some serious balling, but I can ball a lot better when I got Michigan shorts on. Another Michigan sweatshirt. We're almost here to the end. Passionate. Let's see, what else we got in there? Another Michigan shirt. I think one of my favorite things coming up here, Michigan football. It's got the logo on there. I play with that with Rob Osgood in the office all the time, throw it back and forth. We have a good time. Brother Douglas thinks we're working, but really we're playing football. And wait a minute. Hiles Anderson College. That ain't Michigan. I don't know how that got in there. Anyway. I'll put this away. Dad, when I think of that verse you read, I think of you love Michigan. Of course, you can tell I have a little bit of a love for Michigan. But you know, after she said that, and I had a little time on my way to work, I thought to myself, I wish my daughter would have said, I think about how you have a passion for God. I think about you, Dad. And it kind of convicted me. And you know, it's okay to have a passion for things. It's okay to be a passionate Michigan fan. It's okay to be a passionate, you fill in the blank. Maybe you have a passion for chocolate, if you're ladies. Maybe you have a passion for hunting. Maybe you have a passion for elk hunting. Maybe you have a passion for deer hunting, Brother Collins, or fishing, or whatever it might be, crocheting if you're ladies, or sewing or knitting. Of course, I don't think we have any 80-year-olds. Well, maybe Mrs. Froakey. And you have a passion. And Brother Froakey, he loves playing chess, and that's typical. But all of us have passions for different things. But do you have a passion for God? You know, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Joshua 22:5 says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments." Joshua 23:11, "Take good heed thereof unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." Psalm 31:23, "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful." Psalm 116:1, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication." I love this one, Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy." You know, is God in your midst today? What's your passion for God? When you got up this morning, did you think about him? When you got up this morning, did you take time to talk with him? Was it the first thing that came to your mind this morning when you got up and thought, "Boy, Lord, thank you for loving me"? Was God in your midst? When you got up this morning, did you think, "Man, I want to live a life that the Lord would say, 'Boy, well done, thou good and faithful servant'"? What kind of passion? What's your passion level for God today? When you walk down the street, do people say, "Boy, that person has a passion for God"? When you walk to your classes and you're with your students in the dorms, do people know and say, "Boy, that student has a passion for God"? When you're on the basketball court, guys, do the guys know, "Hey, that guy's got a passion for God"? Or does your testimony and your walk and your words, does it say, "I don't have a passion for God"? When I walk down the street and I'm on my out and about, I look like a Michigan fan. When I'm wearing any of this material, people don't say, "There goes an Ohio State fan." Bless our heart, poor people. They know I'm a Michigan fan. Do your coworkers know, "Hey, that person, they're a God fan"? They're passionate about God. Are you passionate about him today? You know, my dad and I were up in Ann Arbor a couple years ago, and it was during the non-season, and we were driving through Ann Arbor, and my dad said, "Hey, let's stop by the big house and see if we can try to get in." And we both have a passion for Michigan football. And we went around and we parked the car and we went up to the stadium, and there were barricades everywhere. Every gate was locked. We tried every gate. We tried to, you know, climb over the fence. Not totally, but we just about tried to climb over the fence. We walked all the way around the entire big house trying every gate to see if maybe just one was unlocked that we could try to get in. But every place we went, there was a barricade. Do you know, I believe I'm going to give you four barricades today that cause us to keep from having a passion for God. You know, Matthew 22:37 says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Webster's definition of passion is a strong liking or desire for, or devotion to some activity, object, or person. Do you have a strong liking for God today? Or are you just going through the motions? Can you sit there in your seat, college student, and say, "Boy, I love the Lord. I have a passion for him"? You put your name in there. Tim Dale, you have a passion for God. Do you have a passion for God? Joey Diaz? Do you have a passion for God? Anthony Collins? Do you have a passion for God? Frito Escobar? Do you have a passion? Or you just say, "Hey, I'm here. I know God's got a passion for me, but, you know, you can take it or leave it. What's your passion this morning? You know, we went round and round trying to get into that Michigan Stadium, and we couldn't find a place. They were all barricaded. I put down this morning just four barricades that keep us from a passion for God. You know, Luke 10:27 says, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." I think every one of us that are here this morning, you want a passion for God. I have the utmost respect for every college student in here this morning. Even the one that we say, man, that one's on the fringe. Hey, you're here for a reason. At some point in your life, you said, God, I want to serve you with my life. Maybe there's an exception. Maybe there's one or two students that you are literally forced. Your parents said there is no other option. We'll disown you if you don't go to Hiles Anderson College. But I doubt that's very, very few that cases here. Most of you said at one point in your life, God, I have a passion to serve you with my life. Some point in your life, you were actually sold out and said, God, I want a passion for you. But four barricades, in my opinion, come into our life. Number one, the first barricade is an unbalanced schedule. An unbalanced schedule. I think the will and desire is there for every one of us to have a passion for God. But there's an unbalanced schedule. You're too busy. You find yourself going through college and we're into the third week of the semester now. And you've looked around and you said, man, it's been 3 weeks since I picked up my Bible. You said, I just don't have time. Mr. Bailey, you don't understand. I go to work, and ladies, I you know, if you're a lady in here, you say, I leave for work at 1:30, and after going to class all day, and I'm in chapel, and I go at 1:30, and I get back at 10:45, and by that time, I'm just exhausted. I get in bed. I go to sleep. The next morning, I get up early. I get ready to go to class, and man, I'm just dying at that point. And I've never taken one time to spend time with God. You go through class all weekend on Saturday, all Sunday, telling those about the one who loves them, but you don't even have a passion. Telling your bus kid, hey, live for God, read your Bible, and you haven't picked yours up in 2 weeks. And you say, how can that be the case, Brother Bailey? Because I know I've been there. I might have been a college student 20 years ago, but I remember vividly my freshman year when my roommate came to me and said, hey, you haven't read your Bible in 3 weeks because you used to read it at your bed every day and I haven't seen you do it in 3 weeks. You've gotten too busy. Your bus route's doing great. I mean, you're building the bus route. You had 100 this past week, but you're not walking with God. You've lost your passion for God. Oh, people look around and they say, hey, Brother Dennis, they say, hey, that guy, man, he is doing something for God. He is serving him with all of his might and all of his mind and all of his soul and all of his strength. And you might be serving God with all your mind, but that doesn't mean you're walking with him and you know him and you have a passion for him. An unbalanced schedule. Maybe you're too busy for God. Maybe you're just too bored for God. You're not doing enough. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, live by a schedule, college students. It's too easy to just get going so fast that you say, man, everybody sees if I go to class. Everybody sees if I'm on my bus route. Everybody sees what I look like. But they don't see if I'm walking with God. I can just kind of let that slide. That's the devil tempting you and getting in and saying, hey, it's okay, just let it slide. I mean, everything else is more important. You know, I think I told this story maybe last year. It comes to a great illustration of this, having a balanced schedule. I was down in the gym a couple years ago now, and I was down there, and there was the lights in the gym were flickering, and there had been some sort of a lightning strike. So I walked in there, and I thought, this is crazy. I mean, all the fluorescents were flickering, and Kyle Manis, a student back then, he said to me, he said, man, I hear a loud roaring sound. And I said, I do too, man. So we walked over. We walked into the fitness center. And in the fitness room, there was this treadmill. And this treadmill was just, I mean, there was smoke coming off of it. It was going so fast. Kyle and I walked over to it, and we hit the power button on the treadmill. Nothing happened. Just kept on just, I mean, flying as fast as it could go. So we push the mile per hour button down to try to get it to go down. Nothing happened, just flat out, fast as it could go. I looked at that thing, and Kyle and I looked at this thing, and we said, man, this thing is possessed. We turned down, there's a main power button on the lower part of the treadmill in the front, big red button. We shut the power button off, still, flat out, full speed, just smoke. I mean, literally, you could smell the smoke. No, I'm just kidding. But it was going, I've never seen, you cannot make a treadmill go as fast as this one was going. At some point, the macho part of me began to straddle this treadmill. I'm looking at it. Kyle is looking at this treadmill, and I get on it. Kyle never one time tried to stop me. He never said, I cannot believe what I think you're about to do. He didn't stop me. I got on top of that. I straddled that thing, and I don't think we would have any students that are still here because there was a fitness class going on with Brother Staub then. This was about 3 years ago. Anybody remember the story? Any guys? No. Anyway, so I get on there, and I straddle this thing, and all of a sudden, I think, I bet I can keep up with this. I look down on that thing, and I put one foot on that treadmill. And as soon as I put one foot on that treadmill, my feet, I mean, if it would have been videotaped, it would have been on America's Funniest Home Videos. I put one foot on that treadmill, and immediately my entire body flipped up in the air and slammed down on that treadmill. But I'm still trying to hold on to the little thing here. Literally, the treadmill is burning the pants right off of me. I mean, burns my pants completely off, burn the cover on my cell phone right off of it, and I'm sitting there, this thing's burning my leg, blood's coming out, literally. My ankle is swollen from hitting the back of the treadmill, and this whole time I'm laying there, and Kyle is just sitting there just dying laughing. This is unbelievable. I mean, and I'm sitting there just shocked as this treadmill is just eating me alive. My flesh is, you can just smell the flesh burning. And finally, a group of college guys, they hear Kyle laughing. They walk in. I'm laying there on this treadmill as it's just carrying me away. And they bust out laughing also. Finally, one guy walks over to me and pulls me off. I get up, realize I was still alive. My pants were literally in shreds down the side of my leg. I tried to keep up with something that I wasn't capable of. Some of you are there today. Some of you are carrying 20 hours of classwork. You're working 50 hours a week. You're on your bus route all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and then you say, man, why don't I have any time for God? You don't have to get through college in 4 years, young people. You do not have to get through in 4 years. You don't definitely don't have to get through in 3.5 years. Just because your girlfriend's graduating and you want to make sure you get married, you don't have to finish in 3.5 years. You better make sure that when you walk across the platform that you have a passion for God and not just a diploma in your hand, or you'll someday look back and say, I blew it all, it was a waste of my life, and you'll walk out of Christianity and people will say, what happened to him? Like so many of my friends today, I look on Facebook and say, what in the world happened to them? They had an unbelievable ministry when they were in college. They lost their passion because they tried to keep up with something they couldn't keep up with. Then there's another college student in here, though, where it's the opposite. You're on a pastor's child scholarship, so you have a good scholarship. You don't have to work a whole lot, so you work maybe just a few hours a week just for extra spending money, and you find yourself in boredom. You think, man, this is boring. You don't go to your ministry on Saturday. You sit around, lay in the dorm, sleep in until 11 o'clock. There's not many of you. There's just a couple of. And you've gotten to the point where you have no fervency, no spirit for God. You know, I was down at my second, I have a whole sermon about treadmills, but I'm only telling you two of them. I was down in Sykeston, Missouri, right across at a hotel. My wife was there across from the home of the Throat Rolls, Lambert's Cafe. My two daughters said to me, Daddy, let's go work out in the fitness room. And my wife was training at the time to run a marathon, and so they had gotten this passion to run. And they said, let's run. Well, at the time, Kristen was only 3 years old, and Caitlin was 5 years old. And I said, okay, just don't tell Mommy. and I'll let you guys run on the treadmill. That was a big no-no. And I said, but it'll be okay. It'll be fine. We'll just go really slow. So I get on this treadmill, and I slow it way down, and Kristen gets on, and I said, okay, before you get on, I'm going to set it to about a half mile an hour to where the belt's barely moving, because if you fall off of this thing, it's not going to be good. You could really hurt yourself on a treadmill. And then I'm going to have to explain to Mom why I let you ride and run on this treadmill. She said, okay, I'll go real slow. I'll be real careful. I said, okay, be real slow. So I said, kind of like this, and I set mine down to about 1 mile an hour to where I was barely moving. She's standing there. Of course, she's got real tiny little legs, and she's keeping up with it. This is fun. This is awesome, Daddy. This is awesome. Okay, you be careful. You be careful. Be careful, Kristen. And I'm sitting there barely even noticing I'm moving. Be careful. Kristen, be careful. I'm bored out of my mind. I mean, this thing's not even moving. I'm not even building a sweat. I'm not even having to move my legs. Be careful, Kristen. Before I know it, down I went, off the back of the treadmill. She turns to me and she goes, you should have been careful, Daddy. What happened to me? I got too bored. I wasn't active. I wasn't doing anything. Sometimes we lose passion because we're just not involved. Get involved this semester. You say, hey, I haven't joined a bus route yet. I don't want to get too busy. Get involved. Join this week. The first obstacle is an unbalanced schedule. Number two, unconfessed sin. Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Psalm 145:20, the Lord preserveth them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Daniel 9:4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. What unconfessed sin do you have in your life that's keeping that boundary up between you and God? I'm not talking about God not reaching down. God always is reaching down for us. But I'm talking about you have that boundary where you feel like, man, I really can't talk to you, God, because of this particular thing. I mean, I know my girlfriend and I are doing things we shouldn't be doing. And when you're doing that, you can't just sit down and say, hey, God, remember me? I love you, Lord. I'm breaking your commandments and sinning against you, but hey, I love you. I got a passion for you. Or maybe it's lust. Maybe it's pride that's in your life. Maybe it's your tongue that you can't control. There's a sin. You know what it is. All of us have sin in our life that we say, man, I need to get over that thing. Lord, I'm struggling with this. Always say to yourself, God, I need your help. Don't ever get to the point where you're callous and say, that's okay. That's sin. And I'm not going to talk about that one. That's my little pet. I'm going to hang on to it. Because that little pet will be the thing that keeps you from a passion for the Lord. Don't let unconfessed sin. You know what it is. Number three, a weak fan base keeps you from your passion. So what are you talking about? Well, when I go to a Michigan game, you get into Ann Arbor, and Michigan Stadium kind of sits down in a valley. And when you get to Michigan Stadium, it seats 115,000 people. There is a massive fan base. I love talking to people who love Michigan football. My dad and I had a great relationship. One thing we had in common is we loved Michigan football. And I always love talking about Michigan football. You know, if you want to have a strong passion for God, you need to talk and spend time with those who have the same passion for God that you do. Someone who says, hey, let's do more for God. Someone who says, hey, let me tell you what I shared out of my Bible this morning. Someone who says, hey, can you believe what God's done for us? Let me share with you a miracle God did in my life. Someone who says, hey, I prayed this morning and you wouldn't believe how much I felt like God loves me. Someone who has that passion, not someone who says, hey, you know, man, come on. We don't need to worry about that rule. I mean, and now I'm meddling here. Hey, it's okay if we go out this door even though it says not to. Hey, it's okay if we go out this window, nobody will find out about it. Hey, it's okay if we go the wrong way in the one-way street in the student parking lot. It's just security. It's just your authority. Don't hang around those who say, hey, passion for God? Are you crazy? Hang around those who say, hey, let's sit as close as we can down front to hear the preaching. Those who say, hey, let's go to class and have an open desire to hear from God's word. Don't hang around a weak fan base. Number four, broken relationships. Broken relationships keep you from a passion for God. Zechariah 8:17 says, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. How's your relationship today with mom and dad? What was the last thing you said to them on the phone? What was the last thing you texted to your mom? You know, in a crowd this size, I know that there are students here, just from my interaction over 22 years working at the college. You have a strained relationship with mom and dad because they don't agree with who you're dating. I've seen it over and over again. They say, hey, we don't approve of that guy, young lady. And in most cases, you better listen to mom and dad because they know things that you don't know. They have antennas that go up that you never can imagine. Some of you this morning, you're upset with mom and dad because they don't want you to date the guy that you're dating for good reasons. I'm not talking about the student here whose mom and dad says, I do not want you to serve God with your life. I'm not talking about that. If that relationship is strained, it's your job to show them God's love. It's your God to live a holy and pure life. It's your job to show them the love that you have for the Lord and to love them. I'm talking about the student here today who you had terse words with mom last night on the phone because you didn't agree with something she wants you to do. You know who you are. You know, on a Saturday, I think it was October the 15th, this past year, I was coming back from Michigan, and I was driving my van. We were coming back from, we go to a cabin every year for a couple days. My wife and girls were in the car, and we were just having a great time. We had loved the time we had had up there. We built a fort, and, you know, I have two little girls, but we played in the mud, and I try to teach them how to be ladies and princesses. And we built this fort out of all the logs in the forest. I mean, literally, you could walk in it. It had a roof on it. Everything was pretty cool. I'll show you a picture sometime. But we were having a great time. And all of a sudden, I thought, you know what? I want to call my parents and see how my dad's doing. My dad's had been fighting cancer for about 12 months. But he'd been doing great. Just a week before that, he had gone apple picking with my mom in an orchard. He loved to pick fruit. And I thought, you know, I'm going to call my dad and see how he's doing. And I called, phone rang, my mom picked up. And I said, hey, mom, how you doing? Is dad there? Which, if you're a son, that's often the case. Hey, mom, how you doing? Is dad there? And I try to talk to my mom as much as I could, but my dad and I always usually ended up talking and spending most of the time together on the phone. Is dad there? She said, yeah, he is. And I said, okay. And then she didn't say anything. I said, can I talk to him? And I could tell she was emotional on the other end of the phone. And I said, what's the problem, Mom? And she said, he's not doing very well. And my mom tends to be dramatic. And I said, he's not doing very well. Well, what do you mean? And she said, I mean, he's really doing bad. She said, just 2 days ago, he couldn't get out of bed and come down the steps, and I had to have Pastor come and help me get him down the stairs. I said, oh, that's pretty rough. I said, maybe he's sick or something other than the cancer. She says, no more than that. This morning he couldn't even get out of bed. He's still upstairs. And I said, okay. I said, can I talk to him? She said, sure. And he picked up the phone, and he said, I don't know, Andy, what's going on, but I'm going fast. And I said, you can't go yet, Dad. And he then began to tell me how proud he was that I was his son and how much he loved me. I never talked again to my dad. That was the last time. I drove home the next day to see him. By the time I got there, he was pretty much, I wouldn't say in a coma, but he could basically just say, you know, gasp just a couple words here and there, but no conversation. My dad died. That was on a Saturday. My dad died Wednesday. He went just like that. The only regret I had was not spending more time with him. And my dad were as close as you can get. I could not imagine when I stood there by his bed holding his hand while he was having a hard time breathing and there was a tumor sticking out of his stomach. I could not have imagined sitting there thinking. The last words my dad and I had were, I hate you, or you're not going to tell me how to live my life, or I can't stand the rules you put in place, or you don't even have a clue what you're talking about, old man. I can't imagine what that feeling would have been like. Because when I was sitting in your shoes, I loved my parents. Yeah, we had differences occasionally, but I had no regrets. If you're sitting here today and you say, they'll get over it, I wish I could go back to where you were and say, hey, Dad, let's go to one more football game. If you have a broken relationship with your parents, there's no way you can have a passion for God. If you said, well, I don't really give a care what my parents think about the girl I'm dating, and I told them that, and they'll just have to live with it, I'm an adult, I'm at college, I'm 20 years old, and nobody's telling me what to do, there's no way in the world you can approach the throne of God and say, Lord, I have a passion for you, I love you this morning. Got to look down and say, well, what about the authority I put in your life? Don't have a broken relationship. Broken relationships cause you to lose that passion for God. Lastly, in closing, it's up to us to have a passion for God. But you know, there's times that I fail. And there's times that I fail the Lord and I feel like, you know, hey, I really blew it. But no matter what, God always has a passion for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't get any better than that. In closing, I'll tell you this story. There was a man. He was a stock boy at a grocery store. His name was Curtis. True story. While he was stocking the shelves one day, he noticed a new checkout clerk, lady, that was working at this grocery store. He was 22 at the time. She was 26. She was a little bit older than he was. And he noticed her, and he noticed that she didn't have a ring on her finger. And he thought, wow, she must not be married. And so he would smile and occasionally talk to her, and her name was Brenda. One day, it just by chance happened that Brenda's car wouldn't start. And he offered, hey, can I give you a ride home, Brenda? And she said, sure, love to have you give me a ride. So he gave her a ride home, and they talked a few minutes as he drove her to her house, and he helped her. They got a tow truck to come get her car, take it to a place, picked her up the next day, took her back to the mechanic shop to get her car. Several days and weeks went on, and they kind of carried on this casual relationship. And one day, Curtis went to Brenda, and he said, hey, Brenda, would you mind if maybe we spent some time together outside of work? He said, I'd love to maybe go out for dinner. And she said, I would love that. I would love that. She said, my husband, in case you don't know, my husband passed away 2 years ago in a car accident. And I haven't really dated anyone or spent time with anyone, but I'd be happy to go with you. So they set up a time, and he got to the house, and he pulled up, and she told him she'd be right out when he got there. So he pulled up, and he thought, well, she'll be out in just a moment. She knows I'm here. She didn't come out for a few minutes, so he walked up to the door, and he knocked, and she said, I really hate to tell you this, but I'm not going to be able to go with you because my babysitter canceled. And she said, and I have two children, one girl and a boy, and the babysitter canceled, so we'll just have to postpone it sometime. And he said, oh, that's not a problem. Let's just bring the kids with us. And she said, no, you we'll probably just need to wait and postpone it sometime. No, just bring the kids with us. Go ahead and bring the kids with us. I really want to go out with you. Just bring the kids with us. She said, well, Curtis, it's not that easy. And so she said, why don't you step in for a second? He stepped into the house, and there was her beautiful little girl, just bubbly as can be. And she asked, "Hey, this is the man you're going to go out with?" "Oh, yeah, this is the man I was going to go out with tonight." Over in the corner was a wheelchair with a little boy in it. And he was disabled. He had Down syndrome, very strong disabilities. And she said, he just can't go everywhere we go. And most people, once they see my children, they don't really want to go out with me anymore. He walked over to that little boy with the disability, and he picked him up, put him in his arms, and he said, "Let's take the kids with us." He didn't care about his disability. He didn't care about the fact that he couldn't offer him anything. That little boy couldn't talk. He couldn't speak. He couldn't offer Curtis anything. But yet he said, "Hey, I want to take you with me." You know, the Curtis I'm talking about is Kurt Warner, a Super Bowl champion, quarterback, played for St. Louis for several years, Arizona. True story, he picked that little boy up and took him with him. You know, all of us, we're just like that boy. We're sitting there. Maybe we don't have a lot to offer to God, but he loves us. He loves you and I today. You say, "But man, I've lost that passion, Brother Bailey." God will still pick you up in his arms and say, "Come on, come with me. It's okay." All of us need a passion for the Lord. Why? Well, first of all, he has a passion for us. He loves you and I today, enough to die for us on the cross. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for these students. Pray just help them in this journey of college. Help them to have a passion for you.